Good morning. I'm going to share the message with you this morning. And I'm going to follow up on what Andre spoke about the last 2 weeks. He spoke about, for those of you who are here, he spoke about visionaries, becoming a leader that shapes the world, raising up leaders that shape the world. And this morning, I want to focus, we're not going to shape the world this morning. We're going to shake the world, okay? So I'm going to speak about team ministry. That shakes the world. And God has been doing, through the years that I've been involved in church, He's really been working in my own heart about the whole thing of team ministry, and that all of us have something to give. And I want to take you to a scripture, Psalm 92, and I want us to read it together this morning. Okay, normally Andre reads a scripture, I would read a scripture, whoever's preaching, read a scripture, and you just listen. This morning, we're going to start off by reading this together. So if you can join me, Psalm 92, verse 13 to 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And let's just read the first part together again. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Well, I don't know about you, but I want this. Whatever flourishing means, I want to be flourishing, because this sounds really great. It sounds great to be fruit in old age and to be fresh and flourishing. It just sounds great. Okay, it sounds like those people who always look so healthy and fit and just ready to take the world. And I looked it up in the dictionary. I thought, let me just check. What does it mean to flourish? Because I have my own idea, but let's just go to the dictionary, okay? And it says, to flourish means to grow or to develop in a healthy and a vigorous way. To grow or to develop in a healthy and a vigorous way. And I realized that flourishing is not something that happens in a second or in a day. We flourish while we grow, we flourish while we develop, and we flourish, if we go back to the Bible, if we are planted in the house of the Lord. And I want to talk to you about this, being planted in the house of God. And I think maybe all of us have our own idea about being planted in God's house. And I thought about it a lot when I was preparing for this morning, and I realize there's a lot of components to being planted in God's house. And for all of us, it would mean something different this morning. For all of us, it would mean something different. And I want to focus on one specific thing, but I want to take you through a couple of things, because I know that, as I say, for all of us, it's different this morning. But before I continue, I just want to pray for our hearts, and I just want to pray that God will bless our time. Amen. Father, we give you this time. God, I give you my mouth. I give you my heart. God, I give you every person's heart here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will highlight, Holy Spirit, that you will come and that you will highlight whatever we need to hear this morning. We give you free reign, Lord. And we just say, have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first one I want to focus on, which I really experienced in my own life when I was looking for a church. When I went to varsity, I said to God, Lord, I really want to plant myself in a church. But now I'm first-year student in Stellenbosch. I have no idea where to go to. Okay, I came from a very, very small town, and I was looking for a church. And after about 6 months, I found myself in Shofar, and it was during the time of worship where I just knew I must plant myself here. I didn't really know anything about planting myself in a church. It was just something in my heart that I knew this is where I belong. Somehow, during the time of worship, I just knew this is my home. And for the last six months of my first year at Varsity, I started going to a small group. I even got involved in the worship team. I was actually quite involved, but for some other reason, it still didn't feel like my family. I didn't really like the people in my small group, to be honest. Okay, sorry, confessing all my sins here again this morning. I didn't connect with them. I didn't connect. They prayed 6 o'clock on a Friday morning. Every Friday morning, they prayed at 6. I thought, God, I can't do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. So for 6 months, I was really trying to plant myself in God's house. And it was difficult for me. I battled. And this is just my story, okay? For you, it might be something completely different. At the beginning of my second year, I attended a membership class at Shofar, which we call now the community seminar, and I actually joined the church. In my heart, I was a member, but I actually joined the church 6 months after I decided that this is my home. And I promise you, all of a sudden, it made a difference in my life. I can't explain it. I can't explain to you why all of a sudden just putting my signature on a paper made any difference. I can't explain it, but for me, it actually did. So for some of us getting planted in God's house, it's becoming formally committing yourself to a church by becoming a member. It's not necessarily Shofar. I know some of you might be visiting this morning. It might be another church. But for some of us, being planted in God's house, it means to formally commit yourself by becoming a member. Amen? And I know some people think, what on earth is the signature going to make any difference? I'm in. Can't you see I'm in? But for me, it made a difference. For me, it made a huge difference. It all of a sudden felt like my family, and it felt like home. And I just realized I was under the covering. God all of a sudden could bless me because I was committed. It's almost like marriage, and you're not married to the church. Okay, don't get me wrong this morning. There's no covenant between you and the church. There's a covenant between you and God and between you and your marriage partner, your spouse. But until the paperwork is done, a marriage isn't blessed. Okay? It's still just two people living together. It can look like marriage. It can feel like marriage. But it's not marriage until the paperwork is done. So I just want to throw it out there. Whoever of you need to plant yourself in terms of membership, please do that. It's going to bless you. If it's not here, plant yourself where God is leading you. For some of us, it means committing to a small group. And as I say, sometimes I've been in many small groups where I thought, I'm never going to connect to any of these people. I have nothing in common, Lord, except that we both believe in God and we go to the same church, but that's about it. And as, you know, we developed our friendship, as we just decided to stick in that group, as I decided just to stick there and to love the people, God changed my heart. So for some of us, being planted means just committing yourself to a small group regardless whether they are your best buddies or not. Okay, sometimes we need to stick to a group of people and just love them and allow them to love us. That is the way some of us need to become planted. For some of us, it means dealing with past issues, past hurts, because church can hurt us. Okay, we all know that. We all have stories about a pastor disappointing us, a small group facilitator disappointing us, many people in church, just church in general disappointing us. For some of us, being planted in God's house, remember, we want to flourish, okay? I want to flourish. I don't know about you. We want to flourish. So if we want to flourish, we need to plant ourselves. And if you have been hurt by a previous pastor, by a previous worship leader, by a previous anybody in the church. You can't move on to another church without dealing with those things. Okay, this is a tough one sometimes. We can't run from the one church to the other church hoping that this one is going to be better. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect church. And if you find a perfect church, please don't go there. Because then it's not perfect anymore. If we don't deal with our past hurts when it comes to church, we can't plant ourselves in a new church. And you can't move on to another church unless God gives you the green light. You can't just move on because you want to move on. Because I'm sick and tired of these people, God. They're not Christians. They're just hypocrites. I'm moving on. Looking for another great church. Because there must be some other great church where everybody's perfect. Somewhere out there. We need God's green light. We need God's permission if we want to move on to another church. Maybe he wants you to stick, to support your leaders, to support the pastor, even though he's not perfect. Is this challenging? I just realized that issues can follow you. Okay, if you had issues in your previous church, it can actually follow you to the next one if you don't deal with it. So I want to encourage you to, if you feel that God is leading you to Shofar, to evaluate your heart, to forgive, to deal with past issues, offenses, hurts, to forgive, to sort it out. Amen? Otherwise, it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life, and it might actually repeat itself here if you don't deal with that in your heart. And I'm not saying you shouldn't move on. Okay, sometimes God will lead you in a different season where you move to another church. That is really fine. It happens, and sometimes it's really God's will. Just check. Just check with God what his will is for your life. If you have been uprooted, you have been planted, you've been uprooted by hurts and offenses, there's a storm that was coming in your previous church, or even in this church. Maybe you've even been uprooted in Shofar East London. You've been planted here, you've been uprooted by hurts and disappointments, and you just couldn't believe that Andre can say that. How can you do that? How can you say that? Then you need to plant yourself again. You need to forgive. You need to see God. This is what Andre was talking about the last 2 weeks. Remember? In the midst of issues, church politics, people disappointing you, we need to see God. And we need to determine where does God call me to? If God tells you to be in a specific church, then you need to see God in the midst of everything that is wrong, in the midst of everything that bugs you. Okay? If this is where God tells you to be. Amen? Do I challenge you this morning? For some of us, and this is what I want to talk about this morning, to be planted in God's house means to simply get involved. And we're going to be very practical this morning. And I want to tell you more about my story. I studied accounting in Stellenbosch. And I started working in Stellenbosch as well. I worked as an auditor at PricewaterhouseCoopers for 11 years. Quite a long time. So I'm an undercover auditor, okay? So I had a great job. I had a great job, I had a great salary, I had, in terms of career-wise, everything going for me. But let me tell you, my life would have been completely, completely empty without serving at the church. I had everything in terms of my job and my career going for me, but without serving at the church in the evenings and over weekends, my life would have been completely empty. Completely. I can't imagine myself, you know, over those 11 years, only working and not being part of a church. I would have been a very lonely, empty individual. You know, and my biggest growth as a person did not come, by moving from high school to varsity to an article clerk to becoming a manager at PwC. It wasn't my biggest growth. And I can honestly tell you that because I've been there. I've been in both worlds. My biggest growth as a person came by joining a small group, becoming a small group intern. This is the person who supports the small group facilitator and is going to become the facilitator maybe in a couple of months. Like, oh, I don't think I can do it, but okay, let's give it a try. And then becoming a small group facilitator and realize, but I can do this. I didn't think I can, but I can. By doing Bible school for 3 years in the evenings while I was studying and working, and then a couple of years later when they said, who wants to teach at Bible school? I thought, I want, but I don't think I can. But God, let's try this out. It was my biggest growth came by being involved in the church. By playing keyboard in the worship team where I couldn't even, I have a classical background, I couldn't even figure out what to do. For those of you who know the music we use in church, it's an A over a C sharp, and I had no idea what to do. That was my start. And then a couple of years later, leading worship. I'm not a worship leader, okay? This is not my thing. But there was a need for somebody, and they said, Sonika, there you go. It was a huge jump for me, for who I was, who I thought I was. My biggest growth as a person did not come by doing my job in the marketplace. It was actually by serving in the church. That was why I was flourishing, where I was growing. What's the definition again? Growing and developing in a healthy and a vigorous way. You see, if we are going to be flourishing in God's house, we're going to stand firm when the storm comes. Even in your workplace, you will stand firm. You're going to provide shade and oxygen. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to be a blessing wherever you go. If we are planted in God's house, you're going to be a blessing wherever you go. I mean, I remember there was a course. We had to do lots of courses as managers at PwC. You know, we auditors, so they need to get our soft skills. You know, we lack quite a bit of soft skills, according to the whole world. So there was all stress management, productivity, all these things. And there were two courses I avoided. The one was presentation skills. I was terrified. And the other one was like breakthrough communications, kind of the same thing. And I avoided that. I was always busy, you know, when that course was coming up. Oh, I'm busy. No, I'm going to audit. I have a deadline. I can't do that. It was only just before we came to East London. That was after 10 years at PwC. After 10 years, I said to Andre, I have the guts now. I'm doing that course. I'm putting my name down. I'm going to do that presentation skill course. You know what they do? They give you a topic, and then you have 2 or 3 or 5 minutes to prepare, and then you need to speak. Okay, my worst nightmare. And then they record you on a camera, video camera. Then you go in a private session with a person, and then they evaluate you. Then they check. Okay. I was terrified. Only after 10 years at PwC, I said to Andrea, I'm going to do that now. Why? Because of what God did in me by serving in the church. By starting to teach at Bible school, also being terrified, but just knowing that God is with me, I can do this. And after my experience or my serving, whatever you want to call it, in the church, I had confidence at work. My serving at the church gave me confidence at work. It wasn't the other way around. Maybe for you it is like that. I don't know. But for me, definitely. It wasn't all the courses and all the training and everything I had in my workplace. It was by simply stepping out in the church bringing my little bits, and see how God multiplies that. Bringing my incompetence, bringing my inabilities, bringing all my fears, and say, God, I can't do it. And then God's saying, but I know you can't, but you can. Through me, you can. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. And I gained confidence. And, you know, I will forever, forever be thankful for the opportunities I got in the church. Forever. I wouldn't have been the same person today without that. But it took me to say, okay, I'm going to sing in the choir. I'll play in the worship team. I can't do these things, but I'll learn. I'll practice. I'll try it out. I will forever be thankful for the opportunities I had in the church and still have. I would have not been the same person today without that. And maybe you think, no. Okay, let's just, Sonika, I always thought the pastor gets paid for, I have a list, okay? To preach, to teach, to marry, to bury, to make hospital calls, visit members, counsel the confused, evangelize the community, raise the money, print the bulletins, and pray for the sick. The pastor gets paid for that. I am busy. I have my own hectic job. Don't you understand? Okay, let me take you to a scripture. Let me show you what the Bible says, what the pastor gets paid for. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility, their job description is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. There's the pastor's job description. That is what he gets paid for, to equip God's people. Who is God's people? All of us. To equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. That is the pastor's job description. Amen? Ephesians 4 verse 16. He, that is Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. The whole body, that's all of us. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That sounds like flourishing, eh? Healthy, growing, full of love. As each part does its own special work. Each part. Not some parts. Each part does its own special work. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22. For those of you still not convinced. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So for those of you who think, but my gift is so unimportant, they're not even going to miss me if I'm not there. They're not this, Sonika, there's, I can think of 10 other people who can do it better than me. 10, or 20, or 50, or 100. They can all do it better than I can. Let me tell you, I think most of you can actually preach better than I can, okay? I need to work through this. Every time before I preach, thinking about all of you are so gifted and amazing, I think, God, why did you choose me to do that? And maybe you're going through the same thing. Sonika, everybody can do it better than I can. Everybody. Why would God use me? Because some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Whatever you have to give is important and necessary. We need your gift. We need your contribution. We need your passion. We need your dream. God wants to do something, people. He wants to do something, and we need all hands on deck. Not because the pastor is lazy. You know, I know Andre jokes about working 2 hours a week, and I know some of you believe him. I know. But, you know, he's actually, I live with him, okay? I see him getting up in the morning. I see all those things. He's actually one of the most hardworking people I know. Together with many other pastors I know, one of the most hardworking people. It's not because the pastor is lazy. It's because God designed the church, the New Testament church. He designed it that the pastor should equip and he should build up the people to do the work of the ministry. Because that's what Jesus did. He chose 12 men. They were fishermen. They had an ordinary job. He said, come. You're going to change the world. Not me. You're going to change the world. That is God's example. We need all hands on deck. For those of you who don't know, Shofar's mission statement or purpose statement is to raise up leaders. Oh, let me check it again. To reach nations. Okay, let me do it again. Shofar's purpose statement. To reach nations and generations. Nations and generations. Through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. So if you feel that God is calling you to Shofar, you're going to get discipled, you're going to become a leader, and you're going to become part somewhere, maybe, of a church plant. And I know this freaks out many people. This will come much later, okay? And this will only come when God calls you to do that. But many people, just in their normal job situation, they just start supporting a church plant. Like Dion, for 2 years before we came, he's an engineer. For 2 years, Dion preached every Sunday. He led worship. Kweba was in the worship team. They ran the whole church for 2 years before we came. That is a church planter. He was just willing. He said, God, I'm willing to do this. I'm an engineer, God, but I'm willing. This is just the only thing God wants from us is to say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing. And it starts, I want you to listen carefully now, because maybe some of you were involved in the church in the past or currently involved and you're not feeling that you're flourishing. You're not feeling as if you're flourishing. You need to find, listen to me now, you need to find your natural habitat in the house of God, your natural habitat. You can't be a plant that should live in the Karoo and now you're going to plant yourself in a tropical climate somewhere. Maybe you should live in the Karoo. This is where you're going to flourish. Doesn't make sense, but or vice versa. All of us need to find our natural habitat. And how do we do that? Guess. We experiment. You experiment. Maybe you think, oh, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what my passions are. I don't know. You go and plant yourself in the Karoo. That's fine. You'll soon find out maybe you need to be in a tropical climate somewhere. You just plant yourself anywhere. You experiment. You experiment. And I know it's, you know, to plant yourself now in the Karoo until Jesus comes back, it's really scary. Especially if you're not sure if you're a Karoo plant. You're not sure, so you just can't. You fear that whole thing of committing until Jesus comes back because this is how they do it. When you're in, you can't get out. I know many of you fear that. So what we want to do, we want to encourage you to do, is to check something out once. Okay? All of the ministry facilitators, we're going to get very practical now. I'll show you what we're going to do. They know that. So if you do children's church once and you find out, oh, this is the Karoo, I don't belong here, I need to remove myself quickly, that's fine. Okay. But you might actually plant yourself in the Karoo. That's children, okay, you don't do you want to be the Karoo? Okay, no. Whatever. You just plant yourself somewhere once for one day. And you check it out. And then I want you to ask yourself the following questions. I think it's up there. Okay, first one. Did you find it meaningful? This is very practical, okay? Did you find it meaningful? For some people, doing the getting all the telephone numbers and the addresses and the birthdays in the small group can be really meaningful. You find it meaningful. We're going to bless each other on each other's birthdays. We're going to have contact numbers. Somebody else can think, oh my word, just don't give me that job to collect everybody's birthdays. And even though you can see the bigger picture, you don't find it meaningful. So you need to determine, do you find it meaningful? Is there meaning? Is there purpose? Does it excite you? Second question you need to ask. Remember, you planted now for one day somewhere as a tree. Did it charge your emotional batteries? Did it charge your emotional batteries? Or did you find it emotionally draining? This is a very important question. Okay, because even though it can be physically draining, ask the worship team. They arrive here in the morning at 7. The sound guy arrives a little bit earlier even. All of us then maybe are still even waking up or getting ready for church. It can be physically tiring, especially if you had... Is Cliff here this morning? No. Cliff had his 30th birthday party last weekend, the Saturday. He was on sound duty the next Sunday morning. And Sandy was his fiance. She was in the worship team. They were here. It can be physically draining. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you find it emotionally completely draining? You sit there and you think, I'm like exhausted, I'm finished. It might be. Sometimes after one serving opportunity, you might find it emotionally draining. Maybe you should give it another chance. But if you feel like that, it might be not for you. Okay? Third question, did you enjoy serving with the other person or the other people on the team? You know what? I find doing dishes really boring. I know some of you enjoy it, but I find it really boring. But if I do it with other people, it's weird, but I actually enjoy it. I can't explain that. When I wash dishes and this company, we do it together and many hands make light work, then all of a sudden it's not so bad. I actually enjoyed it. It was fun. Now, for some of you, you might get involved in a ministry and it's not like particularly your undeniable passion that you will die for, but you love the people on the team. You just love the people. So you'll basically do anything to see the people. Okay, so that's also a question you need to ask yourself. Because if you connect with the people, it's not so important what you do. It's about who you do it with. Okay. And I'm almost finished. Some of you might, as I said, start a ministry. You might start serving somewhere because of this passion in your heart, this dream, this something. Some of you might just start something because God is leading you in a certain direction. It doesn't make sense. God, youth, high school youth, me? Are you sure? But God is leading you and it doesn't make sense. But you know what? Sometimes we think we know our hearts. Sometimes we honestly think. It's like meeting your life partner, your husband or wife. Often we hear stories. I never thought I would be interested in this person. I mean, Andre and I was like that. We never originally thought we're going to connect. But God knows. God knows your heart. He created you. So even if you feel somehow that God is leading you to do something, just check it out, okay? Just give it a try. Because it might be that you just discover something in your heart that you didn't know exists. And let me tell you, I have a lot of respect. I've spoken to a girl the other day where she just said to me, what she's doing at the moment in the church, she would rather want to do something else. But she has peace. She knows this is where God wants her to serve for now. And I said to her, you know what? I have so much respect for you. I have so much respect for you that regardless of how you feel emotionally, you want to be obedient to God He's going to bless you. And maybe it's just for a season. But God is going to bless you when you're obedient to Him. And I want to ask, I'm almost finished. I just want to ask Gentle to come forward. She has a beautiful testimony about being planted in God's house. And she's on call today. So thanks, Gentle, for coming. Just share what is on your heart.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Gentle, and I'm a church-going Christian. And it wasn't always that way. I'll just give you some background. I was at Shofar Tigerberg, where I studied, for most of my studies. And at that stage, I was very planted in the church, but still cared a lot what other people thought of me. So I didn't get quite that involved, you know, like just enough so that people wouldn't notice. And I just felt that I really did. I mean, if I wasn't in a church, life could have been so much worse. But I really didn't feel that I was benefiting from the abundance that the Lord promises. Then after varsity, they send us away to exotic places, like Queenstown. And so I did my internship in Pretoria. And even at that stage, I mean, Pretoria, there are churches in Pretoria. There's a shofar in Pretoria. Even at that stage, I was resistant, you know, so I kind of flitted through churches. And then in Queenstown, that was the biggest challenge for me, because only towards the end of my stay in Queenstown did I actually find a church that I connected with. But so for 4 years, I was kind of arving around, not really happy, not really sad, just not really passionate about much, just kind of existing. And then this year, I came back because I was on the church plant for this church, and I did feel very loyal. So I came back here, and they had a whale of a tale. And for an aspiring diva like me, that's really bait right there. So I took part. I participated in it. And during that time, I really, you know, like, I know that I had a measure of faith, you know, because I believed in God and I could say it. But during that time, I really saw the Lord's power in action in people right next to me, living with me every day, that I saw all the time. And it was just undeniable that church works. And one morning, I actually woke up with an overwhelming desire to commit. And I went to speak to Sonika, and she actually gave me that very verse about being planted in the church. And the rewards have been intense. Like, sometimes I don't even know how to quantify them, but just two things that I've really learned. One is the concept of authority. If you believe in God, you know, but your works don't show it, and people leave you alone, kind of. You believe in God, you say you're a Christian. But when you start following up that faith with works, and you see the testimonies that come out amongst your friends, you really believe. And then you really believe in yourself and who God has made you to be, and you really understand the concept of authority. And I think, like, just realizing who I am in the Lord and what I am capable of in the Lord has been absolutely amazing. And then also the concept of freedom. Sometimes we think there's freedom in the world because it looks more free, you know. And I realize that in actual fact there's so much slavery in the world. And the freedom is actually in here, because people that can accept your God actually accept the biggest part of you. And once we're all on that page, you can be exactly who you are, because God is not a communist. You know, He didn't make everyone to be the same. So the freedom in this church was just unbelievable. And yeah, just the sense of community. I don't think I've ever had such sincerely loving friends in my life before. So I just have to say that the rewards of joining a church, I mean, if you have to put them on paper and audit it, I would totally go for it every single time. And I feel like maybe it happened a little late, but I know that God's timing is perfect and He will totally restore everything that was taken away. So, yeah.
Okay, so just dream with me for 1 minute. We're almost finished, okay? I know you dream about the cold water and the coffee, but just dream with me for 1 minute. Imagine a church where everybody is involved, where everybody just give something. Nobody is going to be burnt out, because that's a big thing in churches where people get burnt out. Okay? Nobody will be burnt out because everybody will bring something to the table. We're going to grow. We're going to get healed. We will make friends. We're going to have fun. You're going to be part of something bigger than yourself, bigger than your own dream or your own desire. You're going to be part of something greater than you could have ever imagined. This is the result of being planted in God's house. If everybody takes it, said, I'm going for this. Someone's gift that is the least important will be the most necessary, because whatever you have to give is important. Okay, so let's just get very practical. On your chair, you'll find a white card. On the front, there would be, you can put down your details for us. Now, I want to ask, I'll get to the back now. If you want to tick boxes on the back of the card, and you think, but they have my details, please put it down again. Okay, because it will just help us to connect with you. So even if you think we have your details, please put it down for us again. And if you can just turn quickly to the back of the card. I just want you to have a look at that. You can complete your details a bit later. These different ministries we have in the church. And I've asked representatives of all those ministries. You can see there's creative arts, okay, worship, youth, small groups, media, which will be laptop and Sundays, kids' church, sound, community, and connect ministry, which will be the ushering for now. I've asked people to be available after the service, because I know it's also hard to commit to something you don't know what the commitment entails. So if you want to talk to somebody, please go to one of those corners and just ask your questions. All right, but we have a worship ministry in the church that is really growing. We're very excited about that. We actually have almost too many people at this stage, because we only have one service. We need to really juggle to give everybody a chance. But there are certain instruments that we could, for example, we want to start with the drums in the church. So if you can play drums, or at this stage, percussion, bass guitar. We have quite a few vocals at this stage. Too many people who play the keyboard, actually. But whatever you do, if you want to get involved in the worship, if you can just put down your instrument as well. Tick that box, put down your instrument. As I say, we have lots of people at the moment. So if you need to choose between maybe worship and something else, if God, you feel God is leading you to that something else, you're welcome. Okay, but that is the worship. Sound engineering, this is the guy there at the back, Corneille. Without the sound engineer, we can... You're not going to hear me. Okay, my voice will not last. We can all go home. Okay, he's the most important guy in the service. Thanks, Corneille. Okay, so we need guys just to record the sermon, to mix the instruments. It's actually a very exciting ministry, okay? So for those of you who feel comfortable and called to that, there will be guys at the back that you can speak to. You can tick that. Media, at this stage, it's the person doing the laptop together with a sound. You need to be a little bit focused, okay? Not a daydreamer. Not, oh, where are we now? Oh, we're in the second song already, but I'm still on the first slide. Little bit focused, and it shouldn't, you can't stress, okay? If it's a stressful ministry, we don't want you to do that. So that is laptop. Show for kids, very exciting. We want to actually divide the children in more groups. Currently, we put all the, like, grade 1 to grade 6s in a group, which is, just imagine, quite hectic. So we want to put the grade 4 to 6s and the grade 1 or the grade R's to grade 3's. Also the 3 to 5-year-olds, we want to start a new group. And in the grade, the year 1 to year 3, which is not, you just play with them, okay, it's not a big deal. But if you feel called to the kids, please tick that box. Connect Ministry, that's our ushering ministry. Without them, we can also go home, okay? They are the hosts for Sunday mornings. They get everything ready. They get the coffee and the biscuits. They get everything ready to serve you. So if you feel that you want to serve in that way, please tick that. Youth, it's primarily high school youth. Where's Ashley? She's going to be at the youth. Where's the youth thing? There. Okay, meet Ashley, okay? Just even if you just want to meet her, you can just go in any case. Youth, we need people for youth. It's our young generation. We have many testimonies about connecting to people in their high school years. Now they're pillars for Jesus. They're standing strong. They are a man and a woman of God. So if you want to get involved in that, community upliftment, we currently don't have existing projects. Up until now, we've just partnered with other community projects. But we would like to, there's many people in the church. They come to us all the time. I have a heart for the community. I have a heart for the community. So we want to get things going. So if you want to get involved in community upliftment, just tick that. And then facilitation. For those of you who feel ready to start facilitating a small group, or maybe to facilitate foundations, that is the courses we do, Foundation 1, 2, 3, 4, where you facilitate, where you pray for other people, where you serve other people, especially in a spiritual capacity, please tick that box. Okay, and then just, we want to encourage people not to get involved in more than 2, maximum 3 ministries, okay? If you tick 10 boxes, sorry, 3, you can tick 3, and in order of preference, so mark it 1, 2, 3, and we don't want you to burn out, okay? We don't want anybody to work too hard in the church. It's not the idea. The idea is all hands on deck. So, creative arts, sorry, it's not on, why is it not on my list? Okay, we have a creative arts box that you can tick if you want to. We're going to have workshops on creative arts during the Heart of Worship weekend as well. So you'll get a bit exposed to that. But if you can meet Jenny and Claire, are you also going to be there in that corner? If you have a heart for drama, you know, all those exciting things, please meet them. Dancing, drama, all those creative things, okay? And just one last thing. You can start ticking if you want to, putting down your details. I know some of you had bad experiences in previous churches. I know for some of you, it's a step in faith to get involved again. It's a risk. Okay? So it is to love. So it is to get married. It's a risk worth taking. It's a risk worth taking. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. This is my last scripture. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now listen to this. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me and he shall set me high upon a rock. I've experienced this in my life. I can honestly say to you that this is probably my favorite scripture in the Bible. There's many favorites, but this is top 5. One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Because I know I'm going to flourish. I know I'm going to flourish, and it's going to be blessed. So I just want to encourage you, it's a safe place. Amen? So if you can just tick those boxes, I'll give you a minute or two, and then you can just leave it at the info table afterwards.
And there's just also an option, other. So if you've got a gift, some area of your life, and you want to share it with the world, please write down what that is. Okay, so we're going to give you 2 minutes now to write down. And obviously, you don't have to like commit. It's just like you're saying, I have or would like to or maybe, and then you can see it as it develops. So put a 1 next to your first preference, a 2 next to your second preference, and a number 3 next to your third preference. And I just want to encourage you as well, on Thursday evening, we were praying, and I felt God speaking to us. We had quite a few words, but the one word that came out was, I saw a picture of lots of fish swimming in our direction. And that often speaks of people that God wants to send to a church. And I felt God asking me this question, will you be ready? Will we be ready? If God sends another 100 people tomorrow, will we be ready? God sends, I don't know what God wants to do, but will we be ready to receive the people that God wants to send to us? And so that's part of it. If we fill every gap, then we can be ready for what God wants to do. Okay. Going to give you another minute there.
I just, you can tick your boxes. I'm just going to stand here talking a bit. Now, while we were worshiping, I felt like there were these massive drops of rain falling on my face as I was worshiping. And, feeling God's awesomeness and being amazed by Him. And then I was reminded of this verse, Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but to water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it." Yeah, and I think that's just encouraging for God, just raining down His word, and He's saying, "Don't panic, I've got it under control." Every promise that Sonika has been saying, you will be fruitful, you will flourish, you will be fine, in spite of people, what people do, and what hurts you've had. Just trust God. Yeah.
Okay, so then just also as a reminder, grab a poster on your way out, grab a few pamphlets, invite a friend. It's going to be great. Okay, so I just want to end off for us with prayer. And then if you can, you can just finish completing the cards and drop it on the table. Father God, we thank you. God, you've destined this house and every person in this house to flourish. Lord, to have meaningful relationships, to connect with you, to walk and to live by the power of your Spirit, and to have an experience of purpose, knowing what I'm designed to do. God, and we pray for each of us, Lord, that you lead us. And we pray that the word that was ministered, Lord, would really sink into our hearts, that we'll find a place to be planted. So God, we thank you that you will lead each of us, God, where you've called us. And we just bless each and every person, God. We just welcome, we receive every gift, every bit of potential in the lives of people, God. We receive it in the Spirit, Lord. And we pray that you'd bless it, that you would multiply those gifts to the glory of your name. Thank you, God. Thank you that we can receive it right now. Thank you, God, for a release of potential. Thank you, God, for courage to step out. Thank you, Lord God, for a self-awareness in the sense of coming to know our gifts, our passions, our callings, and our purpose. And thank you, God, that we can together walk this journey to the glory of your name. And all of God's people say, Amen.